All right. Tonight, I want to do something I know y'all have done here before. I've just been here a couple times for this, but I want to conduct our sermon this evening more like a Bible class. We'll just ask only the men to speak up and make comments if you have comments in the class tonight. But I want us to think about a topic that we've been thinking about a lot lately, and that is thinking about elders and appointing elders in the congregation here. And specifically tonight, I want us to focus in on passages that shed light on the congregation's role. If we are to appoint elders, what should that look like as far as our responsibility as a congregation of God's people? We're going to see if this PowerPoint will work. If it doesn't, we're just going to mute it. It's not super essential for our study this evening, but we'll see if we can get this to work. If it works, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Well, let's begin tonight in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. And we're just going to go ahead and kill that. And can I get one of the men to read for us? Hebrews 13 and verse 7. And that is not the verse that I intended. We want verse 17, not verse 7. Excuse me.
Obey the leaders who submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that will be of no advantage to you.
Although now that I think about it, verse 7 is also rather appropriate in this. I had verse 17 in mind, but that's one of those times the mistake makes sense. Looking at verse 7 and in verse 17, what are some of the things that we see here that are our responsibility if we are to have elders?
Obey the elders.
Yeah, the first thing that it says there in verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them. And that's kind of the fundamental responsibility of one who is in submission to someone over them is to obey, to be submissive to the one who is in a position of authority. And that includes times when you may not necessarily be in agreement with the one who has the authority position. But in this case, it is the way that the Lord has arranged things. I think certainly in situations like being under an eldership, there's always times when you can talk with those and communicate well back and forth. But the fundamental command is to obey your leaders and to submit to them. And why? What reason does it give for this submission?
They have a responsibility for watching over our souls. They have taken that burden upon themselves.
Yes, that they are watching over their souls as those who will give an account. This is a powerful responsibility that is bestowed on those who are appointed to the position of elder. And so, as those who are watching over your souls, it's necessary at times for you to obey and to submit to their leadership. Otherwise, kind of what's the point? Is if they're watching over your souls and trying to guide you in a way that's going to be helpful spiritually for you, if we're not willing to obey and to submit, then that leadership role doesn't really mean anything. If you're not able to guide and able to give advice that will be taken into account and will be submitted to, then that kind of negates the role of elder that the Lord has appointed. And I love the end of this verse. How are we to let them serve?
With joy.
Yeah, with joy and not with groaning, as the ESV at least. And what are some ways in which those under an elder can allow them to serve with joy and not with groaning?
Work with to maintain peace and harmony in the congregation, and of course to work to grow and prosper.
Absolutely. Certainly. And for any of us who've ever been in a leadership position of any kind, of over different groups of people, you know that there are different kinds of groups. And some of them you think, oh, I would love to be in charge of that group and be able to direct them. And there are other groups who are like, oh, no. or do I have to be put with this group? And the groups that are a joy to work with are those groups, like Brother Legg has said, that are doing their best to serve the Lord and are doing their best already to be at peace with each other and are going to work together toward a common goal. And of course, the groups that are, you know, each one is going their own way. Each one has their own idea about how it should work and is not willing to compromise or work with the others. It's incredibly difficult to be a leader of that group. There's cause for much groaning in that kind of a situation. And he says, for that would be of no advantage to you if the elders are in a position where they have to serve with groaning. That's bad for the elders, but it's not just bad for the elders. That's bad for the congregation. If you are causing your leadership grief and giving them a difficult time, being difficult, a difficult flock to manage, nobody's going to benefit from that. That's going to slow everybody down in trying to do the work that the Lord has given us to do as a local congregation. So it's not only in the best interest of the elders for you to submit, but it's in your own best interest to submit to them in a way that they can rule with joy and not with groaning. Are there thoughts or comments on this? Brother Troy?
Or obey means be persuaded by. So it makes me look at obey. It's not the harsh obey thing. It's as the sheep, we are more willing to give into the leadership of the elders to be persuaded by them to do things.
Absolutely.
As a congregation of the Lord's people, we should have a stronger ability to do that because we have a common focus and a form of unity. And that's one of unity. Common focus is the Word of God.
Yes.
As it says in verse 7.
Amen. And that those who spoke to you the Word of God consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. As we are all drawing closer to God, we will be able to work together better. Exactly. Brother Lake?
If joy indicated that the word obey is could be translated be persuaded by, then the word submit follows it in the same sentence. And so there is an obligation not to follow the elders blindly, of course, because like Paul said of children, obey your parents in the Lord. We're only to obey elders or to submit to elders. Say is scriptural, is according to God's word, but it is not just a matter of, well, if I agree, then I'm happy, but if I'm not, I'll make a lot of noise. The problem that often comes up, especially with new elders and a congregation who hasn't worked with elders, is the fact that, that it can be destructive if either side doesn't live as God would have them live and work together.
Other thoughts, questions on this particular verse? We'll look at two other verses and then look at some general principles about submitting to our elders. And just one other point I had on the allowing them to serve with joy. Being cooperative is something we've already mentioned, but also communicating with the elders is going to allow them to serve with joy. Making sure that you are open with them, they are open with the congregation, and when there's an openness to any relationship, it's so much easier to work in joy because you know what the other one is thinking. That is another critical component of elders working with the congregation working with those elders is an open lines of communication between those parties. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5 together. As Peter comes near the end of his first letter, he addresses specifically the elders among the dispersion that he is addressing. And specifically at the end, verse 5, will be addressed to the congregation, those who are younger. But I think we can learn a lot about what we are to do as we look at the role of an elder and think about what it is they are to do and how we can help them to do that role. Can someone read for us 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 5? So he gives four verses of exhortation to the elders and the kind of character that they need to have and really their motivation, thinking about their shepherding, looking forward to the chief shepherd appearing and giving them the crown of glory. It is an honorable thing to serve as an elder. But particularly, we want to focus in on what we can learn as a congregation in learning to submit to those shepherds. From the verses that we have given to the elders, I think it's important to notice in verse 3, it says specifically, in what way are the elders supposed to lead? Giving an example to the flock. What does that mean the flock has a responsibility to do? To follow the example, to observe the example first so they know what's going on, and then to imitate the elders as the elders imitate the chief shepherd, as we think about that term used in this context. Like Paul had said, you know, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Like we just read in Hebrews 13:7, imitate their faith. And we are to be able. An elder is supposed to, of course, have, if they're qualified men, they're certainly men who are worthy of our imitation, of us observing their ways as they are more experienced in the ways of Christ, and for us to be able to follow their example as they lead us in the ways of the Lord. And that's a powerful thing, that it's not just a do as I say, not as I do, but as the elders lead by example, that's very helpful for us as a flock. Because it gives us a picture of what that is, of how we are, how our attitude is to be, how we are to submit to the Lord as the elders submit to the Lord. Other thoughts on things that we might learn from those first four verses, particularly, that are directed toward the elders? Brother Dana? Absolutely. And so he says there in verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And one of the best ways we can do that and be helpful to the elders, I think, is what he says in the rest of the verse. And this has to do with that pride, is to clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility. And that pride, whether it's on the end of an elder or on the end of a congregation, is just going to short circuit the whole function of a church. It'll short-circuit the function of a Christian or of a family or of any kind of organization. Pride is a poison that causes us to just focus on ourselves and what we want, my way, and nothing works when we are being prideful. And so I like the image that he uses there, to clothe yourselves with humility. Carry it with you wherever you go. Just be that humble person that you need to be. And specifically, he says, clothe yourselves with humility toward who? Toward one another. I may have expected him to say, clothe yourselves with humility towards your elders, and like, don't be prideful toward them, or kind of try to, you know, throw off their authority by being prideful. But specifically he says, clothe yourself with humility toward one another. How is that going to help an elder to serve? Yeah, if we are, if among the sheep you don't have one sheep exalting himself over the other and trying to, you know, have his own way, if all of the sheep are clothing themselves with humility and looking to the needs of others before the needs of themselves, well, it's going to be an easy flock to lead. They're going to be working on taking care of themselves, working on working out the problems among the flock because they're humble, because they want to grow in these ways. And it makes it for a much easier time trying to shepherd. A flock like that. Brother Wilson?
The elders are to shepherd the flock, or to watch the flock. That means to protect them from false teachers and the like.
Yes, sir. And we'll look more in just a minute at that in Acts chapter 20 and think about what the flock can be doing to help the elders in that. And it goes back to us thinking about communication. And when there are wishes that are made known on either side of that, it's easier for people to work together and to come to a decision. And, of course, we have to have, you know, the fact that like an elder has the authority to say, well, this is the way that's going to be. But certainly, as with any relationship where there's authority and those under that authority, when there's open communication and when there is consideration of the needs of others, that will make everything run more smoothly, certainly. And we read at the end of this verse, as we think about this humility we need to have as the flock, that not only is it going to cause problems with an eldership, but who's opposed to the proud? God himself. This will cause problems in your relationship with God. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I think he will give grace to any congregation that's wanting to be humble, wanting to work under an eldership, and will aid the congregation in those things. Brother Kossett, did I see a hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good point. And when we have this mindset of clothing ourselves with humility toward one another, we're going to be, I think, following what Jesus talked about in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. And that's a vital role that will be so helpful as we clothe ourselves with humility towards one another when conflict does arise. If we're clothed with humility, we'll be those who want to make peace, who want to help a congregation to function smoothly. And again, that just makes things so much easier for those watching over.
If you're in a car and you're on a trip going to a destination and the kids are fighting and arguing and bickering in the back seat, it's going to take a lot longer and it's going to be a lot harder to get to that destination. And the same thing is true with the congregation.
Let the driver drive with joy and not with groaning. Yes. Very good. Very good. Good thought analogy there. Any other comments on this passage in 1 Peter? Brother Boring?
In the first line, the directions of the young men, it may be a lesson for them to be submissive to the elders, because someday this is what they're working for, to be elders.
Yes. I think that's one thing that's interesting to me as you think about the shepherd-sheep analogy. These particular shepherds, in the case of elders, have all once been sheep. And they are part of the flock in a real sense, and then are given a position as a shepherd. But they certainly know and hopefully have been learning how to be a good sheep themselves and then to be able to help others and lead them.
Being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done in selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. If we're doing that, it makes the elder's job so easier, because the elders are doing that already. Hopefully, that if the elders are of the qualifications they should be, they're already doing that also for the rest of the brothers and sisters.
Amen. It's amazing to me, just as we think about these things, really so much of what this boils down to, if we want to have a congregation that functions well under elders, it is a personal responsibility for each one of us. And if each of us are having that mind of Christ, Philippians 2, then it's going to make everything on a large scale function so much easier. But it starts right here, in my heart and your heart, as we humble ourselves and consider others to be more important. Amen. And always feel free, if there are other scriptures that you have that you'd like to shed light on this subject, feel free to put those forward. I have one more particularly, and then a couple of general principles. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and think about some of the circumstances and some specific things about elders here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 25. And there's things kind of sprinkled through here about elders. It's not all specifically about some of those things, but principles I think that will be helpful. Can someone read for us? 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 25.
Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And labor is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, and the rest also may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone peaceably, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. But those of some men call them later. Likewise, the good works of some are fairly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden.
Thank you. So the elders here are worthy of double honor. My understanding in the context here is that we certainly honor them in the position and giving them respect, giving them our submission. But looking into the next verse, the idea that if an elder is especially one who is working in preaching and teaching, that you are not to muzzle the ox when it treads out the grain. That we learn that elders are worthy, like evangelists, of financial support from a congregation. There are a few congregations that I know of that support elders. I guess in our country, that has not been as common of a thing that I've seen, at least growing up. But that's something I think that the Scripture teaches clearly from this passage, that each congregation has to make their decision. It's not required to support evangelists or to support elders, but those are both worthy of financial support, and something that each congregation considers as we approach decisions like appointing elders or having an evangelist to work with a group. So that is another component that I think sometimes, at least, I forget about with the idea of elders, is the work of an elder is a full-time work. I think many times we get the idea that's a simple thing, but to watch over the souls of any size group of people, but particularly a larger group of people, is a full-time work that if a congregation is able to do that, and if that's what the congregation is looking to do, it is a worthy thing, in the words of the text, that they be given that double honor and be able to be supported to do that work. Their thoughts or questions on that part of this passage? In verse 19 and following, particularly verses 19 and 20, we read that there is a responsibility that a congregation has, or particularly maybe the evangelist has, as Paul is writing to Timothy, when elders are struggling and there are problems among the eldership. Elders are people. There will be areas in which the elders are weak. We know that if they're qualified men, there will be men who are aware of those things, but there may be problems that arise within an eldership. And if an elder is falling into sin, there's a way to handle that, and there's a way not to handle that. In verse 19, what do we learn about the way that an elder should be approached if they're being convicted of sin? Yes, it's not just to be one person throwing out a charge here, but there needs to be, let everything, like even the old law teaches us, let everything be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. So that an elder can't just be attacked out of left field by somebody and then everyone's reacting to that. But that if there's going to be a legitimate charge brought against an elder, there need to be witnesses. There need to be people that have seen that and can attest to those things. And in verse 20, what is to be done if an elder is not willing to repent, if they persist in their sin? Yeah, they're to be rebuked publicly in the presence of all. I'm not sure if at this time Peter was an elder, but we remember what happened with Peter and Paul in Galatians chapter 2, when Peter was acting hypocritically and withdrawing from eating with the Jews or from eating with the Gentiles when the men came from James. What did Paul do with Peter in that case? Rebuked him publicly to his face. And since the elders are serving in a public role of leadership, I think that's part of the process here, is that they need to be rebuked in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. If the elder is leading in a wrong direction, that would be so easy for the rest of the congregation to follow in the steps of that elder. We're told to imitate them. And if they're not doing something good, they need to be rebuked in the presence of all so that those who may be wanting to follow that elder will stand in fear and see that that's not the way in which we need to be walking. So there are processes, there are right ways to handle problems wisely within an eldership. And that's something that a congregation needs to think about before those situations arise and we're like, okay, well, like, what do we do now? I think this verse gives us some principles that we can apply in acting wisely if there are, at some point, problems within an eldership. Thoughts and comments on these verses. I think the last few verses in the context of this, he tells that Timothy not to do anything and gives him, it's amazing when Paul starts to talk in the language of in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to, you should have our attention if he's using this strong language. And what is his strong exhortation to Timothy? Don't do these things from what? Yeah, partiality. And it's so easy as we're working with people, and I think particularly as we're working with elders and with people, for us to show partiality. A little bit like we talked about this morning. It's so easy for us to be thinking about our preferences, what we like, to honor our own thoughts and our own motives in that, but especially when it comes to really the whole process, from trying to appoint men who are qualified, to submitting to those men and their decisions, to handling situations where an elder may need to be rebuked. It's so critical that we check our hearts, that we are not doing anything from partiality or from favoritism, because that will just create all kinds of problems. There are always going to be men who we like better than other men, or men that maybe think more like us than other men. And thank God we don't all think the same way. We need one another to balance each other out, because if we all thought the same way, we'd all have the same problems and wouldn't be able to help each other. And so we have to really check our hearts, like he's strongly urging Timothy, don't do anything in this context from partiality or from prejudging. And don't be hasty, he says, in the laying on of hands. I think that may be connected with this idea of appointing men, laying his hands on men to be appointed elders. And don't take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. And then mentions at the end that the sins of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judgment. The sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous. And just that the people of the congregation need to know one another, need to know if an elder is getting into something bad. We need to know one another, whether those things are obvious to everyone or not. That will also help any congregation to function with elders. Thoughts and comments through on the 1 Timothy passage here, Brother Boyne? Vital for the elders and for those under them to act without partiality.
In a similar manner, we also see as we're raising children, that our children, if the parents are not united, if the elders are not united, children in the family can actually play the parents off of each other and learn to do it very quickly and very well. It's amazing how a young child can do that, that they'll go to one and say, well, and they'll start playing back and forth to get what they want. The elders have to be making sure that they're not partial, or they're not, that they're more partial to the unity than to their own power, that they're able to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Referencing the comment about laying on hands, I think one translation says here, in this translation, hastily or suddenly, might it not refer to the idea of seizing a situation? In legal terms, making a wrist or laying hands on someone. So the elders, I think, are cautioned to not seize the situation or lay their hands on one who is accused suddenly. But you take time, you fall to it. And the counterpoint would be more take part in the sins of others. In other words, you don't abruptly accuse and call on the carpet, so to speak, those suddenly without adequate information, but you're not complacent either in such a way that might cause you to be actually encouraging or tolerating the sins of others.
Yeah. Good thoughts. A couple of brief general principles, and we'll wrap up the lesson for this evening. One is from the book of Acts, chapter 20, and verses 28 through 32. We have Paul's address to the elders at Ephesus. And it's one of my favorite chapters in the book of Acts. And we'll briefly read this together, Acts 20, verses 28 through 32, where Paul has already talked about his manner of life and here addresses the elders specifically. Acts 20, beginning in verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. One of the things that the elders are supposed to do is simply to pay careful attention to themselves and the flock. One of the best things that the flock can be doing is themselves to be alert. We know that there are going to be wolves that come in that are trying to take advantage of the flock, that are trying to lead people away after themselves, some from within, some from without. And if the flock is alert to that, you're going to be able to react a lot more quickly. You're going to be able to help the elders in looking at that. The elders are not omnipresent. They can't see everything that's going on. And a flock that's alert will help so much with an elder. Because, of course, the elders are supposed to, this is an exhortation for them to be alert. But it will help them tremendously if the flock is watching out for itself in some ways. And each of us are closer to others than maybe others are. And we might be able to see one who is drifting before an elder might see that. We might be able to see a potential danger that an elder may not be able to see. And again, if we're all alert and we're all working together, watching out for each other, that will help the elders work tremendously. And the other point here is simply that Paul commends them to God's word. And it's critical that a congregation doesn't just lean on elders, or lean on an evangelist for that matter, for their Bible knowledge. We all need to know God's word and study it ourselves. We are all limited in our perspective. And a flock that knows the book is going to be much more ready to be led with an elder that is learning the book and knows the book. If we all are studying carefully, that will certainly help us all in submitting to an eldership. And finally, I'll just reference this last verse in Romans chapter 12. It talks about the different parts of the body. We could also talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But just that, as we think about our part in the body, it is to find our talents. Paul talks there in Romans 12 about if you are good at serving, you know, serve and as using these things that God has given you. If you can lead, then lead. If you do acts of mercy, do that with all of your might. It's so much easier for elders to lead when there are different parts of the body that are eager to serve and are looking for ways to give to the group and to give to the work of God in a local congregation. Many times it feels like leaders, and this is one thing I've learned a little bit in teaching high school percussion, is motivation. You might be able to lead and tell them what to do, but getting them to be excited about it and getting them to do their own work is another thing. And it's so much easier to lead a group of people who are eager to do something, and then you're just able to guide them. Okay, here's, you're good at this. Take this. Do this. You know, you might be stronger over here. Okay, take this. Do this. When there's that zeal, when there's that excitement and fervor to do right, makes the elder's job so much more easy in helping a congregation to grow together. And not all of us will serve in the same ways, and that's such a blessing. God has made each part of the body as he wills. And if we're excited to serve, we're excited to grow and do what the Lord wants us to do, that will help our elders out tremendously. Thoughts or comments on that principle? Brother Boring? Amen. Good thought. I want to thank each of you for your careful attention and for your comments tonight. I hope this has been beneficial for us as the congregation here is thinking about the eldership process, and I think it's helpful for us as individuals particularly to think about our responsibility to submit to those who would be appointed, and to think about what we can be doing now to equip ourselves to better serve, to better build up those men, support those men, appreciate the work that they could do in the Lord's service. We want to close our lesson tonight by extending the Lord's invitation. Our talk tonight has not been focused on the gospel message, but if you are subject to the gospel message tonight, if you've been thinking about your relationship with the Lord, and we talked a little bit about that and God opposing the proud, and you know you need to make your right life with the Lord tonight, you can do that by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as your Lord, being baptized to become part of His church, and submitting yourselves to the authority of King Jesus. If there's other ways that we can help you as your brethren, we can be here for you, can encourage you in some way, pray for you, lift up the hands that are feeling weak, please let us know whichever way that it is we can help you, and come to the front while we stand and sing this song.